Hey y'all, welcome to Sisters in a Glimpse. We're two friends turned sisters, sharing glimpses of our walk with Jesus to encourage other believers in the Christian faith. Expect real conversations laced with honesty, laughter, conviction, and all kinds of truth found in God's Word. Our hope is that you will relate to the topics we discuss and will be encouraged to keep growing and keep pursuing God's will for your life. So now, let's jump right into the next episode of Sisters and a Glimpse. Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys.
This is Abby.
And this is Megan.
And welcome to episode 2 of season 3 for Sisters and a Glimpse.
Woo!
Woo!
Yes.
We are happy to be here.
Yes, we are.
Talking to y'all, and we have something really special and very, like, unique that we have never really, I don't know if we've ever even talked about it on here before. I know that we've never done a full episode about it, and we haven't ever really focused a whole bunch on this particular conversation either. So, I'm excited.
I know. So, and this didn't, like, come, we didn't just think of this either.
No, we didn't.
So, we have been doing, in our Sunday school class, we started a series on the book Christian Atheist by Craig Rochelle. Mm-hmm. And it has been so good.
Yes.
And also very convicting.
Very.
And so, this past Sunday, one of the teachers in our class taught the lesson on when you believe in God but trust more in money. So tonight we're talking about, are we trusting more in money or are we putting our trust in God, and the ways that we can know if we are or know if we're trusting God more. And so we're just going to kind of dive into that.
Yeah.
And just to start us off, there's a quote that I'm going to read. I don't know where you got this from, but it was on our...
Yes.
It might have been from the book.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the book, Craig Rochelle says, the number one competitor for our hearts is money. Hmm. And when I first read that, I was like, I don't know, you know, because there's lots of things that compete for our hearts. But then the more we talked about it, we thought, yeah, but the root of a lot of those things is money.
Yeah.
And so, Abby, do you have, we're going to start out with the verse.
Yes.
And then we're going to jump right in.
Yes, we are. We are.
Oh, I can hear this. You don't have it.
That's okay. I was on a different verse. I have my Bible open. Okay. So this is Luke 16:13. And it says, no servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Okay. So who is saying that right there? Isn't that Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus is saying that. And, you know, he could have said, we talked about this at our table. He could have said anything there.
Yeah.
He could have said, you cannot serve God, and
possessions,
or you cannot serve God and
power.
He could have said anything right there, but he chose specifically to say, you cannot serve God and money, because he knew and knows that money is such a competitor for our hearts.
Yes.
And we know that we are not to serve any God
above
the one true God.
Yep.
And so, some ways that we talked about that can show, like, that we are putting money above God, that we're trusting in money. So the first way that we talked about was, we trust money to provide happiness.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
Well, I mean, you think about, and what we talked about yesterday was that money, just like you said, is the root of everything in our lives, whether it is, a lot of times we will accept a job to make money. We will, in order to have possessions, you have to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have a moment of escape and go on a trip, you have to have money. In order to have power, you have to have money. And so all of the things that the world craves and that our human flesh craves, its source is money. You can't have it without money.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at things, whether it is shopping, whether it is food, whether it is materials, jewelry, jobs, power, fame, all of those things that you're looking to provide happiness, they come. You have to have money.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the more money you have, we think, the world thinks that the more money you have, the happier you will be, because you will have more access to all of these different things. It's kind of like the ideal dream of a lot of people is to win the lottery, right? And that would just be so awesome, because you would have all this money and you could do whatever you wanted with it. But it's fleeting, right? And I would be lying to say that I've never said, oh, it would be really cool to win the lottery, you know? And of course you have these plans of, oh yeah, I'd put some into savings, or, oh yeah, I'd donate to this charity and that charity. However, you are keeping the bulk of it for yourself to spend on things that you think will make you happier. A lot of times, and like, people will marry for money. Like, people joke about that, but
they do.
They do. It just is what it is, that they will marry someone. They may not like them, but if they're making a lot of money, then they think that the happiness that they can get from the money will override that person's terrible lifestyle or whatever it may be. And so there's so many ways that we can think that money can provide happiness. If you're not careful, you can fall into that trap.
So, you know, we trust money to provide happiness. And then the second point was, we trust money to provide security. So you touched on those two a little bit. And, you know, there's just like all the things that you were just saying, you know, we think that even the things that are good things, like Tyler mentioned, that, you know, your insurance and, you know, your car note and a mortgage.
And having a job to make money. I mean.
And wanting and thinking that you have to have money to be able to be secure where you are, to be able to provide, to be able to have security if something happens. We have to have money. And if we don't, you know, we're in a bad spot. And, you know, he said something that stuck with me, you know, because a lot of times we think of, you know, well, I know money, I'm not putting money before God, you know, I don't have anything, or, you know, I don't have a lot and I'm content. But then he said, but how many times just in your thinking, just like you said, of, man, if I had that, like, what could I do with it? Or how, you know,
I'd feel so much better if I could just make a little bit
more. If I had a little bit more, I would be able to, you know, provide this. Or if I had a little bit more, I'd be able to go here or do that. And even in our thinking, we have to watch ourselves that we might not be chasing money. You know, we might not be that person who is, you know, dog eat dog world, chasing money and do anything to get more money. We might not be that person, but we have to check our hearts. You know, are we still having that thinking of, if I had that, it would provide happiness? So that is in itself putting trusting in money above God. And so we have to kind of check ourselves. Okay, so we talked about two examples in the Bible that we see where Jesus kind of he confronted two people, two men, and it had to do with choosing money or choosing to follow him. So the first example we're going to look at is found in Matthew 19. And this is the story of the rich young ruler. And Jesus comes to, or he comes to Jesus. He's like, Jesus, what do I do to have eternal life? What can I do to be saved? And and Jesus starts listing, you know, all the commandments. And the ruler said, well, I've done all of these. But what else can I do? I've kept all of these commandments, which is a lie in itself, because nobody can. But then Jesus, being who Jesus is and seeing the heart of this rich young ruler, said, sell all of your possessions and then you can follow me. And there the young ruler was presented with a choice to make. And the choice he made was, he can't give up his possessions. He can't sell his possessions. That money was his God. That he had all these works and religion that he followed, and this list of things that he was checking off. But his heart belonged to his possessions and everything that he had. So he made a choice.
And I want to read, we didn't verse 23. That comes from Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And I was just looking here. Verse 23, Jesus turns around because his disciples are just kind of hanging around. And they're overhearing this conversation. Mm-hmm. And says in verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And in Tony Evans's commentary, it says that the rich often trust in and are attached to their wealth. People who focus on storing up riches in this world easily allow this world to distract them from thoughts of the world to come. Mm. And so, because he tells them, like, you need to stop storing up this treasure on earth that's just going to disappear the moment that you may or may not enter into, well, you're entering into eternity regardless. It's just where you're going to spend eternity. But it's fleeting, right? Mm-hmm. It will disappear. And so I just thought, like, he had the rich young ruler, he couldn't see past the world. He couldn't get to that eternal perspective of, hey, these things, I may have them right now. I may be rich here on earth, but the question is, am I going to be able to be rich whenever I enter into eternity, meaning that I'm going to get to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven?
Yeah, he obviously wasn't thinking of that, because I can just picture in my mind in that moment him thinking, but if I sell this, then I have nothing.
Yeah.
And not realizing that he's giving up everything.
And it's so crazy to think that, like, he was coming to Jesus saying, what can I, like, he desired, that's what we talked about yesterday, was that his spiritual state, he was curious, he was asking questions, he wanted to be a follower of Jesus. It wasn't like he just you know, was ridiculing Jesus or like, he was saying, what can I do? I want to be yours. I want to be your follower. So what can I do? And here Jesus gives him this, I mean, he just lays it out about as straight as he can, saying, hey, here's what you need to do. And yet he still
shows, like, the pull that the world has on us, on everyone.
Yeah.
If we allow it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me of the story, and I think we've talked about it before, and Jeff has told it, but I forgot the original person that told it. It might have been Adrian Rogers.
Yeah.
Of the young man that he saw on the balcony as he was preaching or giving the invitation, and he could tell that this man wanted to come so badly down to you know, give his life to Jesus. And he ended up getting up out of his seat and leaving the church instead. And Adrian always thought, man, why? You know, I really thought he was going to come down, but he got up and left.
Yeah.
And it was months later, or a year, I don't remember how long later, and he got a call to come see someone in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And it was that young man who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, didn't have long to live. And Adrian asked him, can I ask you, you know, I saw you that day, and it looked like you wanted to come down, and I thought you were. Where did you go? What happened? And he explained, he said, I did want to come down that day. Huh. He said, more than anything, I wanted to come down, but I knew that I would have to give up my sin, and I loved my sin too much. Mm. And that reminds me of this, the same thing here, that he wants to come to Jesus, obviously, and he's living his life because he wants eternal life. He wants those things, but he's still holding on to his sin, which is the love of money.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So that's the first example we talked about in our lesson. And then the next person we're going to look at is Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. So that story is in Luke 19. Mm-hmm. And we all know the story of Zacchaeus.
A wee little man
was he. I forgot how it goes. But everybody knows that, right? And so, and Jesus says, hey, come down from there because I'm going to your house today.
Yeah.
And then everyone, and he was a tax collector. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Pharisees and the religious Jewish people, they were saying, oh, look at him. He's going to a sinner's house and he's going to eat with sinners. And they were complaining and groaning. And Zacchaeus says, I'm paraphrasing here, but Lord, I will, here he is a sinner, a tax collector. And he's saying, Lord, I will give
You may read it.
Yeah, go ahead. You can read it.
It says, verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. And then Jesus tells him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost.
So there Zacchaeus was confronted with the same choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a tax collector, and he was wealthy. He had money. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he was as rich as the young ruler, but he had money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to give that up so he could be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he was willing to surrender his love for money to follow Jesus, whereas the rich young ruler would not.
Yeah.
So there they are presented the same choice, mm-hmm. and each man took a different road.
Yeah.
So something else. Okay, so just like the man Zacchaeus, and he chose Jesus, mm-hmm. and then so talk about like, how do we know if we're making that same choice as Zacchaeus, that we're willing to give up our money, we're willing to give up our wealth, that money's not our God, we're not trusting in money, we're trusting in Jesus.
Yeah.
What are some ways that we can know that we're not trusting in money?
That we're not. Holding on to it too tight. I mean, not being willing to give it away, like Zacchaeus mm-hmm. said, because when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus and we have him at the right spot, we're going to see money for what it is. And mm-hmm. it's something of this world. And yes, it is. It has a place, right? Just like we talked about yesterday, money is not evil. It mm-hmm. is what we...
It's the love of money.
It is the love of money. And whenever we put it on top of, mm-hmm. you know...
When we trust in money more than we trust in God.
Exactly. But whenever we're holding on to it too tight and not willing to give it away or share with others, or we're worried about losing our money, we're not having enough, whenever we're just constantly on that hamster wheel of, oh, I hope I'll have enough for this, or oh, you know, whenever you're just, whenever you don't have, as you put it earlier, you know, an open hands,
mm-hmm.
And you're willing to freely share and freely give, whenever the Lord has laid it upon your heart to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to take it to the extreme of saying that whenever you're content and you love the Lord, that you just, you know, go get all of your money out of the bank and take it and sit on, you know, the side of the road and say, here's all of my money.
No, because he has given us wisdom.
And he's called us to be good stewards.
Yes.
However,
there's a difference.
Whenever the opportunity, and we know, like mm-hmm. whenever the opportunity presents itself for us to give or bless someone mm-hmm. or use it in a different way than maybe we would want or choose, you're able to freely do that
mm-hmm.
And to generously do that rather than saying, oh, no, I can't do that because I don't think I'm going to have enough.
And I think a good way for us to know if we're doing that mm-hmm. is to check, like, look at our bank statements.
Yeah.
Like, how are you spending your money?
Yeah.
And we've talked before. We did an episode on stewardship.
Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. at the very beginning when we first started all of this.
Uh-huh.
But how are you spending your money? Is the majority of what you're spending on, is it for your own pleasures? Is it for selfish reasons? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you not giving money? Is it because you want to save for your own selfish reasons?
Mm-hmm.
Are you giving? Are you tithing to the church?
Yeah.
Are you giving generously to people who need it? And our bank statements don't lie.
No. Yeah.
And so that is, you know, not only can we give our money, we give our time and our talents too. But for this episode, we're talking about money.
Yeah.
And that is important because, you know, money, just like what we said at the beginning, is the number one competitor for our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really shows us the where our heart is at the moment.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you can't hide it. I mean, like you said, the bank statement says it.
It doesn't lie.
Mm-mm.
So that's a good place to start. If you are convicted, because I was convicted.
Oh, I was
too. I'm convicted right now still, you know.
Yeah.
To really check and see, okay, I don't think that I have trusted in money more, but let me take a double check, because I don't want to just say, no, that's not me.
Right.
I want to search my heart, and I want God to search my heart and to show me if these ways are in me.
Yeah.
You know, am I prone to trust money? Am I prone to be constantly thinking about how I can provide? Am I chasing money for security, mm-hmm. or am I already secure in God and know He will provide for me?
Right.
So with that, let's think of some examples that in our lives, especially in America, mm-hmm. in the culture we live in, what are some examples of how we put other things, not just money, but other things above Christ?
Well, I think a good, and I mean, we've talked about this already, but just how we organize our time, and what we choose. And we were talking about this, not even regarding the podcast, but just you and I just visiting, about how to organize our time. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week whenever we were talking about New Year's goals and things of, and it doesn't, and that's the hard part, is that it's not necessarily that you're like doing something wrong. It's just that you could be so much more efficient in how you're utilizing it, right? Like, we're not going out and just, you know, getting drunk on a work night or whatever it could be. Like, you're not in this terrible, awful sin, and that's why
it's hard to see.
It's hard to see sometimes, because we just fall into these rhythms that aren't bad. I mean, we may be, like,
in and
I said,
of themselves,
I like to piddle, what I like to call it, just piddle at home, just, you know, fold laundry and just have the TV on, whereas I could do that and then save time to spend some time in my Bible or spend some time praying or, you know, do things a little bit faster in the chore area.
And I want to point on, yes, you can do it that way, but also not to feel guilty for doing those mundane tasks that we have to do, because we can still glorify God in those mundane tasks of praying while we're folding laundry.
That's true.
Singing worship.
Yeah. It's a small shift.
It's a small shift.
But it can make a huge difference.
What are you prioritizing that?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to get these things done.
Yeah.
But what am I going to think about while I'm doing it?
And how can I glorify the Lord through doing, like, while I'm doing, like, how can I do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Thank you for pointing that out. There was also one from Craig O'Shill that was in the book about spending more on other things than, like, giving to the church or giving to other ministries. And, you know, always thinking about how to make more money, because a lot of, like, the hustle culture is major right now. You know, you got to hustle for always looking for opportunities to be more, do more, get more, have more, just more, and more isn't always better. Because a lot of times we get so busy, just like Tony Evans said in the commentary, of you get distracted from that mindset of more, that really we're just called to keep it simple. I mean, we're just to live simply is to, you know, look right at the day ahead of us and say, okay, Lord, how can I glorify you in this day? I don't always have to be so focused on getting more, because then you will find that you're constantly thinking of, okay, I want to, typically if you're wanting more, you want to be happier. Like, you're you're seeking something from having more. Does that make sense? It can be a sign of discontentment sometimes.
Well, just like, it just reminds me of Solomon and how he searched out the world to find happiness and find he had all the security you could ever have. But to find happiness and to enjoy and searched everything and couldn't find it.
And I do, in that, I want to also speak to, though, and we talked about this, of it's not bad to, again, and maybe I've already said this, it's not bad to have things. It's not bad to have nice things. The Lord isn't calling us to be in poverty, or to be in lack of any sort. It's just the motive of the heart and, and the why, and keeping yourself in check, keeping your priorities straight, knowing that money can't be an idol. And at any moment, and this is something that I often have to ask myself just to keep myself in check of, Abby, if it disappeared right now in this mm-hmm. moment, if everything that you have possession wise, mm-hmm. money wise, if everything went away, could you still praise the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say yes. I mean, I would like to say yes. And sometimes mm-hmm. I can, and sometimes yeah. I have to go, well, I don't know, because I'm really,
yeah.
you know, I'm holding on pretty tight to mm-hmm. this particular thing. But ultimately, I want my joy and my fulfillment mm-hmm. and everything that I have that is good to be mm-hmm. in Him and from Him. Mm-hmm. And so,
just like Paul, you know, when he says, I can be content with and I can be content without.
Yeah.
You know, you can live with plenty and you can live with nothing and still be content, because your joy is not found in money. Your right. joy is not found in your circumstances. Your joy is not only found in the Lord, and you can only trust in the Lord.
Yes.
If we're trusting in any other things, especially money can
because it could
go away like that.
Because it could disappear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just,
yeah, it is not eternal.
It's not eternal.
Yeah.
And your life is not dependent. I mean, it's not the cornerstone of mm-hmm. what your life is built on, mm-hmm. hopefully.
So if you're struggling with that, I would encourage to, first of all, spend more time in God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
Really pray about that and ask God to search your heart for that. And then begin to prioritize, you know, look at your life and yeah. see what am I prioritizing? Mm-hmm. And how can I change my life and change the things in my life so that I'm not trusting in money and I'm putting God first?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. You got anything else?
I had one thought of when the Lord is where He is supposed to be in our hearts and in our minds at the center, you really do. And so you said spend time in His Word. Whenever, the more we get to know Him,
Other matter.
Things disappear.
Yeah.
And whenever you see how He's shown up for, maybe it wasn't financially necessarily, but even more so, like, for...
He's a provider.
He's a deliverer. He's a provider. I mean, He saves our souls, for goodness sakes. Like, He is so much more than mm-hmm. money could ever be or will mm-hmm. ever be. And so I really would, I mean, spending time seeing who He is in His Word mm-hmm. and reading through His promises, just that one task can totally shift your perspective, because you mm-hmm. just kind of realize that, one, this world is not our home, and mm-hmm. we're just walking our way through, and just how temporary money is.
Yeah. It's all about our perspective,
mm-hmm.
that eternal perspective that we
yep.
talk about all the time.
Yep.
Okay. So I think we've gone long enough.
Yeah, I think we have too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we'd been talking this long.
Okay, so we are doing a favorite tonight, and yes. I'm going to share a favorite. And I have not finished it, but I have started it, and I have bought Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. And he has done, like, some of the most extensive study
wow.
on heaven and what heaven will be like. And it is just... It's very doctrinal and lots yeah. of theology. You know, it doesn't really read like a textbook, but it can a little bit,
yeah.
but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's just very, very interesting, to read how he has combined all of these different studies he has done into one source,
yeah.
And has scripture to back things up of what heaven might be like. Now, none of us know that,
yeah,
because we haven't been there, but we do have a picture.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a glimpse, mm-hmm. sisters and a glimpse. We do have a glimpse of yeah. what it might be like. And yeah. it's just, anyways, that's my favorite right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, guys.
Very good.
So until next time.
Until next time, y'all have a wonderful week, and we will talk to y'all soon.
See ya.
Bye.